Austin. I'm headed your way March 31st to April 2nd. Get your tickets at RyanSickler.com. Let's get this tea party started.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pass Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. Look, I just want to say thank you. I say it every week and I mean it. Every time I say it, thank you for the messages. Thank you for the love. You're changing my life too. All right. You want to change it even more? Hit that subscribe on the YouTube, y'all. You know what I'm saying? It's a free way to help the podcast. All right. If you got to have more Honeydew, then you got to check out the Patreon. It's every Thursday. You're getting the Honeydew a day early, ad free at no additional cost. It's $5. If you're in for the long haul, sign up for a year. You're getting over a month free. All right. The stories are wild. We're not going anywhere anytime soon. The Honeydew with y'all. All right. Now, get your tickets for all my tour dates at RyanSickler.com. So you know what we do over here? We highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. I'm very excited to have this guest, first time here on The Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Christina Hutchinson. Welcome to The Honeydew, girl.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here as well. I know you've been patiently waiting out there, but I've been patiently waiting because I'm telling you, I've been a fan for a long time. I've been watching what you guys do. Not only is as comedians, but as business women out there. And you guys fucking made some real goddamn moves. So congrats to you on that.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Please, before we get into what we're going to get into, will you plug, promote everything?
Yeah, absolutely. Our special day is the debut stand-up comedy special of myself and Corinne Fisher. We self-produced it, Corinne directed it, and it is available to watch for free on youtube.com/guyswefucked without the U and fucked, which is also our social media handles. I'm at Christina Hutch on all platforms, and should I do tour dates?
I'm
going to be May 12th in London, May 13th in Dublin, and April 9th, that's out of order, but I'll be in Miami for a Bitcoin conference.
Really?
And I get paid partially in Bitcoin.
I haven't dived in yet.
It's all right. I did early and then I pulled out because I made $10,000 and I was like, I'm a millionaire. But if I would have kept that in for three more years, I would have been 100 millionaire. So, you know, you live and you learn.
See, my thing is like you could collect all that, but if you don't have somebody to buy it, you don't get the money, right?
I don't think when you sell it, it's like a stock. So you sell it whenever you want. It just depends on the price.
But somebody's got to buy it.
I don't think so.
To give you cash, right?
I don't think so. No, I've sold, because when I sold it,
you didn't get cash?
Instantly went to my bank, the money.
But U.S. dollars.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, that's what I mean. I'm sorry, when I'm saying cash, I mean American U.S. dollars.
Oh, yeah.
So someone's got to trade you U.S. dollars for your Bitcoin, obviously, to cash it out.
Yeah.
And I guess
it's a mystery who that is.
Right.
I guess
the government, everybody's waiting for the government to go, oh, you have $100 million? We think that's worth $3.
Right.
Yeah. And then you're fucked.
But when it transfers to your Chase account.
Yeah, but if you can get it, that's what I'm saying. If you get it now, get it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm very excited to have you sit here because your email came in too, and you have something that's been going on. We've had a few conversations lately about suicide and things like that. Unfortunately. And you had said your mom, but before we get to that, just tell me a little bit about your background. Like, where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
Yeah. So I spent a lot of my childhood in, Chesapeake, Virginia, because my dad was in the Navy, and, from age 2 to 10, mom was very mentally ill. No one talked about it. I have an older brother who 8 years older than me, who I'm very, very close with. Thank God I have him. I feel like we're war buddies. we've been in the trenches of my home.
Yeah.
It's very important that I have somebody else who's experienced this. It was one of those things where when you grow up in the environment you grow up in, you think that's what everybody has. Like, you don't know that it's different, but you're like, I'm pretty sure this sucks. But I was very imaginative and very, I would just get lost in my imagination. So I spent a lot of time alone playing. But yeah, mom was very mentally ill. There was one period where she lived in a car.
While married to your dad?
Yeah. We had a house built in Virginia. Okay. And then we moved into it. And then there was, it was very confusing. So we lived in there for a couple years into living there. I was maybe four. She lived in a car. And I was like, where's mom?
Outside or like
another location? I think she drove to the beach. She drove to another location.
And had a house.
We had a giant house, a beautiful, I remember like as a kid, I appreciated how beautiful our house was. I really did. And my brother told me this recently. She would sneak into the house. One time we were out to eat. We would always go to Old Country Buffet. It was me, my brother, and my dad. And we were coming back and we were pulling into the garage and my mom was in the garage and I was in like a car seat in the back. So I was like, I couldn't tell, but I heard my brother like, mom, she went into the garage to steal my brother's rollerblades so she could sell them at a flea market and buy him a birthday present.
Because
a couple days later, there was like a phone. She brought him like a landline phone, like one of the see-through ones with all the colored things. Yeah. And he's like, I wanted those rollerblades.
Fuck this
I don't want a phone. Yeah. So that shit would happen.
But what do you like? Okay, well, that's obvious. There's something wrong there.
Yeah, but I'm a little kid. So right. I'm like, ooh, mom's back. Ooh, mom's
and
going. Okay.
Dad's not talking much about it with you guys because you're little. Don't you wish they would have treated us more like adults then? Because even though it fuck us up, it at least make more sense in the end when we go to work on it.
Right. Because what a kid does, I've read this book called The Body Keeps the Score that changed me. Basically about how trauma lives in your body. And so the author talks about PTSD in veterans, but it also is similar in kids who experience adverse childhood experiences, which is what they're called technically. And there's like a long list of them. And you can fuck your kid up very easily. I mean, you could look at them weird and it fucks them up. Like it's not just one time, consistently looking at them without a smile, without a happy face will fuck up a kid's psyche. So, no one talked about it. She hallucinated a lot on medications because the doctors put her on a lot of medications. They weren't listening to her when she said that they weren't working and they were making her things worse. They're like, just give it a couple more, months. And she was always, her emotions were always paramount. Like we kind of bowed down and looked to her of like, can we do this? Is this okay? Like, should we go out to eat? Is mom okay? Well, if mom's not okay, we'll just stay home and eat, peanut butter and butter sandwiches. But we ate that a lot. Healthy diet.
Peanut butter and butter? I've never had that.
Yeah. Country crock
honey,
butter.
Honey, jelly. Oh, I had the country crock spread for sure. Oh, yeah. And then you recycle that tub too. Oh, you don't throw that tub away.
That was you keep that tub for leftovers. Yep. Or a sandbox. Make sandcastle.
So what memories of your mom do you have that were positive? Like
she wanted to be a good mom.
She wanted crazy, but she wasn't a bad person.
Well, no, she's not a bad person for sure. But it's so many layers. Oh, so many layers. She wanted to, she dressed me up a lot. She always wanted a little girl. And my brother and I were 8 years apart. She had a lot of miscarriages before she had me. And there was one instance, she told me this, where she had to get rushed to the hospital when she was about 7 months pregnant. And there had been a giant tumor in the womb with me that they got on the scan about 4 months into her pregnancy with me. And so they were monitoring it. And then about 7 months in, they had to rush her to the hospital because she was bleeding. And
while you're in her belly?
Yeah.
Holy
and,
shit.
And they took a scan and everything was fine and the tumor was gone. So I'm like, I probably ate it.
That's
helping
the way
my mom
to get rid
from
of
the womb. Because what happens is when you're a parent with depression, I'm a sensitive kid. I think I would have been born sensitive either way. You only focus on their needs because and this is something I've learned in therapy. My therapist is a trauma specialist. Mm-hmm. She said when a child's nervous system cannot handle the fact that a parent can't take care of them or a parent doesn't want to take care of them. And so, because a child will die. There's been a lot of studies on this. There's a famous World War II study where in orphanages, all the babies that got food, clothing, diaper changes, but not all of them were held by nurses because there wasn't enough staff. The babies that weren't held died, even though they got everything they needed.
Even though they got the care.
They needed touch. So that's how sensitive we are.
Skin on skin. I remember skin on skin.
Skin on skin. But there's also another really important thing where for the child's emotional health, the child needs to experience their parent being joyful just because the kid is happy. Like she worded it much better than this. But like basically the child needs to experience their parent really just loving them just because they exist. Like
that's it. I say it all the time. Like your fucking bullshit trip to Europe and I want to go here and Turks and Caicos. None of that fucking matters.
Nope.
All that matters is that you love hard, you show up and at least act like you're genuinely interested in what the fuck they're doing. That's
and
all
ask,
you got to do.
And be inquisitive and nurture their spirit.
Learn your fucking kid. They grow.
Yeah. Nurture
they change.
Their spirit.
Yeah.
And so my child was very, I didn't know what mom I was going to get because the medications fucked her up.
That's interesting.
Her bipolar fucked her up.
So you're always wondering
who's coming down the stairs.
Right.
So my therapist said she put it in a way that I was like, that feels very like a good metaphor. She's like, both your antennas were pointed towards your mom. Not one was pointed towards you. Like usually a kid has an ego, especially a baby. They think they're the only person that exists and then whoever's in front of them. Right. So, so that's, you know, until they grow out of that phase, they need to be like really nurtured and loved. And I was certainly, my mom wanted kids so bad. And she wanted a girl and I was, you know, 8 years after my brother, and there was a lot of health scares when I was born. So I think I was born into this, she's so fearful, my mom, that something bad is going to happen to all of us. And so I think with me, it was just like, I was just this precious thing that she wanted to keep in an incubator and not like learn from my own mistakes as I grew older. Like that's the form it would take as I got older. And so, yeah, it was, I didn't know it was weird,
but not
as
abusive.
An adult.
When I say abusive, physical or?
Yeah, I got hit a lot.
You did by her?
Mm-hmm. She would take her anger out on me.
Really?
She would brush my hair when she was, and I would cry because I have really thick curly hair. Yeah. She didn't, and she has curly hair too, but she didn't really know how to brush it. And so she would just kind of yank it when she was in a bad mood and I would cry and I would say stop and she would get mad at me for crying. And I'm like, so it was a lot of that. So I grew up kind of, I don't know, just not knowing who I was. This is the Honeydew with Ryan Sickler. Yeah. I even turned a camera for it.
I appreciate it. I genuinely appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'll probably do that a couple more times. You'll get a lot
keep
of variations
in
promo.
You can pull clothes if you need to. Yeah. We should get Honeydew tissues.
I should just get a cup and then I'll drink it after.
Okay, so you grow up not knowing not only who you are, but who mom's going to be day to day.
Yeah, and my dad was just...
That's a lot of anxiety. That's a lot of anxiety for an adult to be a child. So now you're also having to parent as a kid.
And get this. Oh, God. So my dad retired from the Navy when I was about 5. He got drafted. He retired as a chief. He excelled in the Navy. And when he retired, he did all these weird jobs. And I was a kid, so I didn't know. I was like, this feels fucked up, but I didn't have the vernacular to say anything because I didn't know how to, you know, really relate to people yet. But my dad cleaned parking lots with like a street sweeper. He worked at Domino's Pizza. He got held up at gunpoint like several times.
For real? Like delivery?
Yeah. I'm like, you were a chief in the Navy.
No one would ever.
Repairing jet planes on an aircraft carrier in Taiwan. And now you're working at Domino's? Don't you want to like aim higher? Not that Domino's is bad, but you're 40.
Aim high. That's the Air Force. He's the wrong. He's
yeah,
the
that's
wrong
true.
Motherfucking
yeah, that's
branch
true.
Of military.
That's true. So yeah, it was confusing.
So he just started doing like odd jobs?
And then he started a business where he was advising high school kids on college. He never went to college. And I was like, this feels like not a good idea, but I don't want to say anything because they're my parents, so I guess they know. And then they got to the flea markets. And I grew up a lot in flea markets.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there. So the whole time, though, dad and mom are together. Mm-hmm. I know she's leaving and doing her thing, but dad's there and they're a married couple.
Dad's not emotionally there, but yes, they are married and living in the same
house.
And
he tolerates this and...
They screamed at each other all the fucking time.
Okay.
Yeah. Screamed. Yeah. Like, I would be at friends' houses and the parents, like our next door neighbors, would invite my parents over for dinner because they had a son around my age and I was like best friends with him. And they would be having dinner and then I'm playing with Steven and upstairs and then my mom and dad just start fighting. And the other couple is like, okay, haha, you guys can go over to your house and do that. And they didn't even, like, no one else existed. They were just screaming at each other. They didn't have the wherewithal to take a step back and go, I'm at someone's house for dinner.
Right.
No, I'm not even in my own home. Maybe I should zip it.
Zip it.
Nope. Yeah, none of that. Yeah. Yeah, and then the flea markets came into my life.
Tell me about those.
We would have to dig through my neighbor's trash. And go junking for antiques to sell at a flea market. It was very embarrassing.
Junking.
That's what my mom would call going junking.
Your parent putting that shit on it.
Yep. They bought a really shitty van that was moments away from falling apart. And we would take it around the neighborhoods in the middle of the night.
Where you
dig through people's trash. Yeah.
But these are...
We found some good shit, honestly. So I was like, all right, well...
I believe
people throw some nice things away.
I was here right after the Northridge quake in 94 when I was going to college. And man, people in Beverly Hills throw some good shit away. Just put it right out on the street.
Oh, Beverly Hills. Yeah, damn, think I want to do that tonight.
That's what I'm saying. They just
Wait, what's trash
they
night?
Put it in... Well, Beverly Hills don't leave it out anymore. But after the earthquake, they were just like, get this broken shit or this shit out of here. It was a set. You were like, God damn, people were going all over taking shit.
Damn. They could have sold that for a lot of money.
But now, too, I hear that it's hard to rent a U-Haul. So many people are leaving, but other people are renting them around here because people just want to get the fuck out. They're not even selling their shit. They're just throwing their couches and stuff on the curb. And these people are going all over the valley and snagging up all this stuff.
That's great. Yeah. Hey, cool.
You'd be doing that right now.
That's what I would have
been. Now, I've been to the flea markets. I have...
So they're a special place, especially in Virginia.
So the Pasadena Rose Bowl does, it used to be, probably still do it, the second Sunday of every month, they would have a monster flea market in the parking lot around the Rose Bowl. It's just
nice.
Rose Bowl seats 100,000. It's massive.
Yeah.
So
tables as far as the eye can see.
Yeah. But it's been four or five times now where I've gone and taken my shit. Basically, I'm having a yard sale at the Rose Bowl.
Right.
But when I got there, what I didn't realize is like this guy next to me.
Got a sign.
All belts.
That he like made.
All shoes.
Right.
All denim over here.
Like handcrafted.
All leather over here. Like these are businesses
Ryan's
around me. I'm over there like, I got a $5 blanket, you know, and shit like that. But I sell
VHS tapes, anybody?
I sell the table I bring shit on. And if I don't, I hit Goodwill on the way out, and I'm gone.
Yep. We would do that. So we would take our – so when I got a couple years older, like 6, 7, we would go – and then she would bid on junk piles. We would go to auctions and bid on piles of junk from Porter's house.
And sell it or is this to decorate your home?
No.
Okay.
So, well, it ended up in our home. So what would happen is we would bid on a junk pile. Truly, it was
the
size of this room.
Okay.
A pile maybe up to the ceiling. It was just me and my mom. We would go there and she would bid. I'm 6. And then after that, we have to sort through it because not all the stuff is good. So we had to spend hours sorting through it and we put it all in the van. And then we took it from the van to the living room. And we were never allowed to have people over because I was like, Mom, can my friend sleep over? And she's like, no, the living room, everything's a mess. Like you couldn't even see the floor of our home at one point. Yeah.
I was like,
just covered in shit. And I was like, but you can we? I don't care. I didn't care, but my mom did. And I'm like, well, then why is there? Like, can you clean it up then? Like, I'm not trying to be a bitch here. But I never voiced my needs ever. I never stood up to myself because I was so scared of her, and I felt bad for her, and I felt like I didn't exist. Only she existed. So I didn't even at the time. I was like, okay, I guess I'll just sleep over at my friend's house. Like I didn't, you know, fight back. And then we would go to Bill's Flea Market in Virginia Beach and we would take the van and she would set up a table and she had severe depression and she was on a lot of medications. She slept all the time. So she would price things, not everything, put it on a table and we would just sit there and then she would go in the van and fall asleep. And be in a depression coma or a medication coma.
While the sale's going, while the people are walking up.
Yes. And I at six had to negotiate with these white trash, alcoholic, toothless, probably molesters.
Probably.
On antiques. And then I would wake my mom. I would go to wake my mom. She slept so deeply when she napped. And she snored so loud. And I would have to shake her. I would have physically shake. And she would yell at me for waking her up. And I'm like, I don't know what you want me to do. There's this guy here that wants to buy this thing. And he wants to offer you $10. And you put $12. And so, but I had a good attitude about it. Because I was just like, I got to help my mom. She also told me she was sore all the time. Her shoulders and neck were always sore. And she would ask me to massage them. And I would. I would massage her shoulders. And then one day she said to me, you know, the longer you massage mommy's shoulders, the longer she'll live. And I was like,
you remember
oh,
that.
Your life is in my hands. Literally, I have the power to keep you alive. I need to, you know, go.
That's heavy.
Yep. Yep. So a lot of flea. And then they went from flea market to a toy store. They bought a store. They rented a storefront.
What do you mean a storefront?
They like rented a store in a parking center, in a shopping
strip
center.
Mall thing?
Yeah.
And made
they
it
called
a toy
it Toy
store?
Connection. And it was toys from all decades that we got in the junk places. They would order some wholesale. And it was just like, guys, you don't, okay, whatever. And it's just for years, our house was covered in shit. And my mom was in and out of, you know, depression and mental illness and all of this. And then...
Is it paying the bills enough? Like,
I think.
Tell me about. Are you? What are you? Middle class? Lower? So we were lower middle class. We were.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
we had a house.
Yeah. Right.
Not a great one.
We
but
were middle
it was
class, I would say. Although my parents always stressed about money openly to us, which was awful. And I think this. They were just. I've started to uncover a lot because I ended up cutting my parents off. I don't speak to them anymore, which is
really?
A huge thing for me. But they would allude to being stressed. They would like push their financial stress onto us. And they knew I was a sensitive kid and I cared a lot. And I was just worried all the time about everything. So it was like they would give me things to worry about and kind of keep me here. But I think that he was a chief in the Navy. My mom was on disability. She didn't work. She couldn't. She had... Some physical disabilities you wouldn't know looking at her, but she had a lot of learning disabilities. She was always in special classes.
How did your mom and dad meet?
In Florida. They're both from New Jersey. They're both from the same town in New Jersey.
Okay.
They met in Florida. My mom's 18. She was escaping an abusive boyfriend. Her mother flew her down to Florida to stay with her aunt to escape this guy who she thought was going to kill him. And she's on the beach with her girlfriend. She took her girlfriend. And she was lying on the beach in Florida. And my mom had driven her aunt's car there. It was a stick shift. And while she was on the beach, she could sleep on the beach. You could also have cars on the beach at that time. A giant truck backed into her while she was asleep on the beach, ran over her arm and leg and ran into her neck. But because she was on the sand, she sunk down. This freaked her out so badly. She didn't go to the hospital. She just went back to her aunt's house and was just like shaking. She should have been like hurt. It fucked her up, but she was able to walk and stuff after. The next day, with tire tracks on her hands, she was at a pool hall. And the owner of the pool hall was like, oh, Nancy, you're from New Jersey, right? Meet Ed. He's also from New Jersey. I think he's from the same town. And my dad was like, what happened to you? You look like you got ran over by a truck. And she's like, actually, I did. And then the rest is history. They found out that my mom's mom was my dad's Sunday school teacher. They're 9 years apart. They're 9 years apart. They met in Florida. So there's a cool, and so she very quickly moved in with him. She just moved all of her stuff and moved in. And then they had my brother. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So it was, looking back at it, I feel like it was pretty codependent love, but that word wasn't even in the vernacular at that time. So the flea markets, so much happened. Then my parents separated. My mom took me out to an IHOP, which was my favorite restaurant. We never we always went to buffets because they were so cheap. We didn't go. So when she took me to IHOP, I was so excited, but it was to tell me that her and my dad were separating.
Nah.
And she was like, you can get whatever you want. And I was like, can I get chocolate chip pancakes? And she was right. Except for our marriage, your parents being together. Can't get that. But even if we were together, we'd make your life hell. So it's hell either way. And she was bawling. She let me order chocolate chip pancakes. And I was like, what? Cool. And then we ordered and we were sitting there and she was like, I was about eight.
Okay.
Nine. And then she starts crying. And she's like, your father and I are separating. Do you want to live with him or me? You have to pick one. And I was like, what? And then the waitress was like, here's your
here's
pancakes.
Your
and
pancake.
I'm like, it was. And I still crave chocolate chip pancakes to this day. And I think it's like my it's my cutting.
Yeah.
It's my cutting.
It's my cutting.
Yeah. 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 And so they separated for 3 years and I moved to Pennsylvania. And I.
Okay. So wait, you moved to Pennsylvania with who?
With my mom.
Okay. And dad stays in Virginia?
Yep. He stays there.
Okay. So that's a little bit of difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many hours are we looking from where she's in Pennsylvania? Because Pennsylvania is big as shit.
Yeah. 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 It's about a 7-8 hour drive.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's significant.
And
the last.
Do you remember how your dad feels about this?
Yeah. So the last night, my dad not comfortable talking about emotions. Very, you know.
Military
emotions.
Also.
Very. And we were raised very militaristically in some respects. The last night at my dad's house, I didn't want to stay with him. I stayed at my best friend Katie's house, and I remember feeling so guilty. And I called him the next morning because he had left for work, so I wasn't going to see him before I got picked up to go to Pennsylvania. And that was the only time I ever heard him cry. And I was like, oh. So yeah, this is the Honeydew with Ryan Sickler. Yeah. So that was the only time I've ever heard of him. And he was bawling like baby. Huh? Like a baby.
Man, you're about to make me cry thinking of my daughter leaving. Yeah. Good Lord.
And I was like, oh, I thought he was crying because I thought he was crying because I didn't spend that last night with him because I didn't understand. And so I felt guilty about that for so long. I felt guilty about everything. But that one ate me up for a while. Lived with my mom. We cleaned houses for a living. We lived in like a condo. We went from this like beautiful house to a 2-bedroom condo.
Did your brother go as well?
No, he stayed with he was in college at that point.
Okay,
so he just went to college in Richmond. And then my mom and I cleaned houses, we cleaned houses to pay for my braces. And she reminded me of that, every day, that she bent over backwards to pay for my braces. Yeah. Meanwhile, like, too depressed to pick me up from play practice. I was always the last kid every time, always the last kid to get picked up because she was slept all the time. And so it would just be me and the fucking security guard at the school. We like bonded hardcore. Every fucking thing, extracurricular activity, I did not get picked up. Like I had to wait. Hours. And then she got mad at me. I'm like, I don't know what you want here, lady.
Listen, if you're out there looking for a home, the truth is that house prices are only going to continue to skyrocket. The time to start planning is now. And I recommend that everyone listen to the How to Buy a Home podcast. It's an incredible free resource with everything you need to know to navigate this process. Host David Sidoni is an industry expert with years of experience who actually cares about first-time home buyers. Just like you. He answers questions like, when is the best time to start? How do I even start? Will a mortgage be more than my current monthly rent? Probably not. The good news is he just released an emergency episode of How to Buy a Home, all about the bidding wars of 2022, with insider tips and tricks to win. David has helped make buying a home a reality for so many people. And I know the reason you keep hearing David come back here is because you guys are listening and using his services. And some of you have already bought your first home. You guys are commenting on YouTube. You're throwing it up on the social. So I know it's working. So if you're interested, I'm telling you right now, he can help you no matter what stage you're in and even connect you with a great realtor in your area. All right. Listen to the How to Buy a Home podcast today. David can help. Find How to Buy a Home wherever you listen to podcasts. If you have multiple credit card balances each month and are only paying the minimums like I did for years, barely making a dent in your credit card debt, it can be discouraging. Upstart can help you pay off your existing debt quickly so you can feel like you're finally getting ahead. Whether it's paying off your credit cards or consolidating high interest debt or funding personal expenses, over 1 million people have used Upstart to get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date. Upstart knows you're more than just your credit score. So rather than looking at your credit score alone, Upstart's model considers other factors like your income, employment, and other information provided in your loan application to find you a smarter rate for your loan. And you can check your rate without impacting your credit score in just 5 minutes for loans between $1,000 all the way up to $50,000. You can even receive funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/honeydew. That's upstart.com/honeydew. Don't forget to use my URL to let them know I sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, your income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/honeydew. You guys know I'm a big believer in mental health. I think that people are out there working out their bodies and not their minds enough. And this is a mental health show. So learning to manage daily stress and anxious thoughts is something we all want, but many of us don't even know where to begin. And New Mood is here to guide you to mental wellness and give you the tools you need to tackle stress so you'll feel empowered to take on whatever life throws at you. I already started doing therapy again. I went back to therapy yesterday, as a matter of fact. And I just think it's a great thing for everyone, all right? And New Mood has a team of dedicated coaches, so you have a support system helping you. My favorite thing about it is that it's literally a step-by-step guide to help you manage your mental wellness, and you can do it at your own pace. You can arm yourself with knowledge and the skills for happiness, and they'll help you better understand your personal relationship with stress and anxious thoughts so you can take control, build resilience, and develop coping mechanisms that actually work. All you need is 10 minutes a day, and it's an app, so it's there for you anytime, anywhere. Worry less and feel happier. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/honeydew. That's Noom.com/honeydew. Start your trial today. Now, let's get back to the do.
So moving on to the suicide attempt, my parents get back together.
They do.
Yeah. My dad sends her books of poetry.
That he's writing?
No, okay. Thank God.
Still,
I don't think they would
have
gotten
back together.
It's
a big jump for a guy that doesn't even
have
address feelings. Yeah.
Sends her books of poetry. I'm like, whoa. It comes up to visit. Very gradual, but they come up to visit. And so we end up 3 years. I was in Pennsylvania 3 years with just my mom. And
how often are you seeing your dad in that time?
Once or twice a year.
Okay.
And, but he, yeah, and they got back together. We bought a house in Pennsylvania.
Okay, so he moved up there.
Yeah, yeah. High school starts. At first, they weren't fighting because they were separated for so long. And then they started back up again. And, but I was a good kid in high school. I was very scared to break the rules because I was scared of being a bad daughter. Like, that was like my main concern. And so the night before I moved away to college, I was going to Penn State, main campus. I was living with a girl I was really close friends with. I was so excited. This was my first experience with like autonomy, really. And because my parents were so, or my mom mainly, was so concerned with my safety at all times, even though I wasn't doing high risk activities. She was always worried about me. If a friend that I had, she heard a friend curse, she would get so mad. Like, why are you friends with this person? They're bad. They're bad. They're a bad person. Blah. She would just pressure me and criticize me all the goddamn time. Sometimes it would come in spurts just out of nowhere. And so this last day before I moved away to college, she was taking me shopping for my dorm room. And I was over the moon excited. We were at Walmart getting a microwave and she was just in the sourest mood, but I was so excited that I was like, nothing you could do can ruin this for me. And she started yelling at me at a Walmart and I was confused as to why. She would yell at me all the time for like things that I didn't necessarily do. And so she starts yelling at me that I'm selfish or something and she leaves me in the Walmart. She just leaves. And I had to call my dad to pick me up. That was the second time that happened.
Like, drove away.
Yep.
Not
she was like,
away.
I can't take like, you, Christina. Left, you're left. Ungrateful. You're blah, blah, blah. Yeah, she's like, I'm leaving. Your father can come pick you up. And I was like, all right, cool. I still got to buy this microwave because I told Liz I'd buy the microwave. So, like, we got, you know. And that was the second time that happened. The first time that happened, I was 16 out at a restaurant with my mom, my dad's mom, my grandmother, who had a stroke, so she had the mentality of a five-year-old. She would take her dentures out and just lick them all the time.
Lick them.
Yeah. She would pick things off of people's plates as she walked through a restaurant. She would go, what? I wanted it. I'm like, you can't do that. She was a bitch. And it was me, my mom, my grandmother, who had a stroke, and my brother's girlfriend. And in that, I was 16 years old, and very vividly, I remember my mom bringing up a friend's daughter who moved to New York City, and she was alluding that she was having sex. She was alluding that she was being slutty. And my mom turned to me. I had a boyfriend at the time, my very first boyfriend that I was madly in love with. He was cheating on me the whole time, but I didn't know yet. I lost my virginity to him. And
before this conversation or after?
Okay. Before.
Okay.
And yeah, so that's where I was at. She was telling me about her friend, his daughter moved to New York City and was being a slut. And she was like, you haven't done any of that stuff, right, Christina? And I would never lie to my mom because I always told her the truth, which was a mistake. And I was like, well, I have actually. She got up, like, did one of these, marched out of the restaurant. And I was like, and it was me, my grandmother, and my brother's girlfriend. And I was like, I guess we got to call my dad.
She left to pick grandma.
She fucking left. Yeah. All of you. And I remember I was so I was like shaking because she was so mad at me. Yeah. The last thing I wanted was my mom mad at me. And she was
trying to be a good daughter,
mad
goddamn.
At me. And I was like, what did I do? Like, what? And I remember it was snowy that night. It was like snowy. And then when we eventually got home, my grandmother, while we were walking out of the restaurant, kept taking things off of people's plates.
That's
I'm
right.
bawling my eyes out. I was like, stop, you can't do that, grandma. She's like, don't yell at me. I'm like, I just want to get out of this restaurant. And then when we got home, my mom was already home. And my grandma fell on the sidewalk. She fell, slipped on ice because I couldn't fucking carry her. Yeah. She was gigantic. And then I fell and she starts crying. She's like, nobody loves me. Like she acted like a kid, this woman. It was awful. My mom didn't talk to me for weeks. So fast forward the night before I moved away to college. We're in Walmart. Part two, but it wasn't because I was a slut. It was just because, who knows at this point. She got mad at me, left Walmart. I had to call my dad. And at that point, I was like, I've had it with that. That was my big fuck you kind of expression. And I was mad. I was telling my dad, I'm like, why does she do this? And my dad was always like, it's your mom. Like, don't worry about it. Like, just make sure she's okay. Like, my dad fed this whole narrative of like, you let your mom do what she's going to do. She's sick. It's fine. Without ever asking us, how does this make you feel?
Right.
And so my dad picked me up from the Walmart. And we pulled into our house. Because I still had to pack all my stuff to move away to college the next day. And half of it was packed. Half of it wasn't. As we pull up, my mom is walking down the street of our neighborhood with a giant beer glass filled with vodka. And I get out of the car and I'm like, Mom? She's like, don't talk to me. And I was like, okay, all right, whatever. In my head, I was like, whatever, bitch, okay. And it was weird. It was off color for her because she doesn't usually drink. She didn't drink a lot. And she walked away, and I was like, whatever. And then so I'm packing. I'm loading things in the van. I'm still like, nothing's going to ruin this. I'm so excited. And hours go by, and it's like 1 a.m., and she's not back. And we're like, that's weird, right? And I was like, Dad, should we call the cops? He's like, I think so. And I was like, okay, let's call the cops. So we called the cops. My dad talked to him. And then 2 a.m. rolls by and we're like, this is weird. Like, where is she? And she had a huge alcoholic beverage on her. So I'm like, is she drunk, passed out somewhere? I don't know. This had never happened before. And so we finally, we get a phone call and it's a family friend. And it's this guy, and he was like, hey, I have your mother on the other line. I'm gonna connect all the calls. Don't say anything, because if she knows you're on the other line, she's gonna hang up based off of the conversation I've had with her so far. We're like, okay. So my dad has the phone upstairs. I am on the phone, the landline.
Remember when you could do that?
Yeah, yeah. Two people on the same call on one side. And then he patches us all through, and she is obliterated. I've never seen her drunk. And then she mentions she's at the train tracks by her house. And I was like, oh, that's okay. I'm thinking of like an old timey cartoon of like some old fucking drunk with a sack sitting by the train tracks. And I was like, that's weird. I was like, and I was in my head, I'm like, well, come home. And then she starts talking about how she needs to leave the earth. She talks about killing herself. And then I'm like, mom, whoa, 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 whoa. What? Hi, it's me. It's Christina. And she's like, Christina. I'm like, yes, hi, mom. Like, please don't do it. Where are you? We're like, where are you? And I heard the train.
Oh, shit.
And then she's like, you don't need me anymore. You have your father. You don't, I'm just a burden in your life. And I was like, no, you're not, mom, you're not. Like, please don't jump. And I forget what she was saying. She was like being very nonsensical, but that she got out and I heard the train and I thought she died. Like I thought I just heard her die. And so I screamed and I threw the phone and I knew where she was. Cause I knew the pathway to get to the tracks. There was only a couple. So I ran. My dad called 911 and I was like, I'm about to see my mom, like her guts everywhere. I don't know. She slipped and hit her head. She tried to jump and she slipped.
She really did try though.
Yeah. She was on the rocks. So half of the track was like a cliff almost. And then half of it was like yardage, you know, grass. She had slipped. So I found her.
Knocked out.
She was bleeding from her head. And the ambulance was already there. Thank God. Thank God I wasn't the one who arrived at the scene first. But I ran. I booked
Jesus
it.
Jesus.
And I sat in the back of the ambulance holding her hand. And she was just telling me how she doesn't want to be alive. She wants to die, all this stuff. And then went to the hospital. I sat with her. They patched her up. She didn't have an injury or anything. There was no head injury, thank God, which was a miracle. And then the next day, I moved to Penn State.
Nittany Lions, here we come.
I feel like God held Holy out the Paterno shit until after I left Penn State so I could have some fucking fun.
Yeah, good point.
So I can enjoy the Penn State college campus life.
Too much.
I feel like Sandusky, that was, they're like, we need to pause this reveal. Sorry, all the people are going to get molested for it. Because Christina needs to have some fun in her life.
Man.
Yeah.
That's day one at college.
Day
huh?
one. Woo. And I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell anybody what happened.
Shit.
Because I'm a fucking open book. I'll fucking tell a stranger what happened.
But your email, and we bullet pointed up there, has an S next to suicide attempt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
the first.
That was, there was one previous that I wasn't really involved in. There was one that I found out way later when she was living in a car. That was one. And then there's probably more that I don't know of. But, the second year of college, I always wanted to be on Saturday Night Live. That was my dream. And so at Penn State, it was one of the best years ever. I loved that year. I love Penn State. But I was like, I really want to be on SNL. I got to move to New York. I got to transfer schools because I can intern at SNL. And that is a surefire way for them to know who I am without me having to, you know, figure out how do I get on the cast. There is a way. There's an in. So I moved to New York and my mom was so worried about me. New York's so dangerous. There's so much crime. There's so much, oh my God, I'm so scared for you. She wanted to move me in with my dad. And I was like, last time that didn't really go well. So I'm going to say probably not the best idea. And she insisted. And my dad was like, just let her go. I'm like, okay, fine. And they moved me in and we're in my little dorm room. And it's the dorm room for all only transfer students. So it was all transfer kids. And I was so nervous. New York's terrifying. And I was very scared, but I was like, you just got to fucking suck it up and do it. And you got to get over it. And my parents moved me in. My mom started to get in a sour mood. She started to pick a fight with my dad, started screaming at my dad in the dorm room hallway in front of everybody. And my dad was just kind of like, okay. And she goes, you know what, Edward? Fine. I'll fucking walk back to Philadelphia. And she just walks out of my dorm room and walks away. And I was like, are you? And that's when I was like, all right, fool me once, shame on me. But fool me twice, you're a bitch. I don't want to talk to you anymore. And so that was the first moment where I really got mad at her. Was the
and
second
you're an
time
adult
she did
at
that.
This point. You're college.
19.
Yeah.
And then she was rambling about, am I jump in front of a bus? And I was like, oh my God. And honestly, at that point, I was like,
try not to slip on the curb.
Exactly. But it's this weird dichotomy, man. When you have a mentally ill parent, you feel so guilty and bad saying anything bad about them. Like you feel like you have to protect their reputation, but really you're protecting yourself.
That's right.
From their reputation.
That's right.
So it's wild. It's wild what it does to you.
I'm learning in this EMDR therapy, my second round. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I mess up and say EDM.
Yeah. Yeah.
EMDR. Yeah. But it's not your relationship to the person or the thing. It's your relationship to the relationship.
The memory.
That thing. That's
yeah,
right.
The memory.
That's exactly it.
Yep.
It's not like you're still mad at somebody from 20 years ago. Well, it's not today. It's your relation. Your relationship to the memory.
That's yeah. Right. Yeah. And I know this is not on the list, but I feel like I can replace one because this is a really interesting
sell it.
One.
Tell it. I said sell it. Sell it.
My mom was adopted.
Okay.
When she was, and she, by a lovely couple, when she was about three, She had siblings. Yeah, yeah. Not her biological. Her biological mom killed herself because she tried to kill all the kids. She had a lot of siblings. She killed herself while the kids were like in the house, and so the state took my mom and siblings, and they got adopted. And so because of that, we didn't know much about her health history, and some of the relatives were mostly passed away. And so I got my mom. I do a bit about this in the special. Full disclosure, but the story's crazy. I got my mom a 23andMe kit for Christmas one year. Her birthday's on Christmas. Christmas is always a big deal in our house. And I got her a 23andMe kit. I thought, because I was really excited. I'm like, ooh, we can actually get some actual information about your background. And she just didn't seem to care, which I thought was weird. Because usually she's like, pretends to care even if she doesn't with a present I give her. She's like, oh my God, thank you. She always puts on a show. She didn't put on a show with that one. And I was like, that's strange. And so, it made me like she kind of tossed it to the side. So I was like, "Well, I'll just do the kit. You don't have to do it. I'll do it. I don't care." Because she seemed so hesitant, and I did it. I did the kit, and I got the results back, and it said you were 51% Ashkenazi Jewish, and I was like, "Oh shit!" And I was like, "Mom, you're Jewish." Like, because my dad was English and German and something, but not Jewish. And I was like, obviously, Dad's not Jewish, so you're Jewish, Mom. That means I'm really Jewish if the mom's Jewish. And she was like,
right.
And I remember she was like, oh, cool. I'm like, do you hate Jews? What's going on? And I thought it was cool. And so there's a couple health things that I learned. And then you download the 23andMe app. And then a couple months into having the app, I started getting messages from people saying that they were my half-sibling. And I was like,
so why? Because now your information is in the system, and those people can see
you. So DNA matches.
Okay.
So you can opt in to say if there's anybody that fits your DNA, has a DNA match with you, do you want them to be able to contact you and vice versa on the app? And I was like, yeah, because if we find a relative of my mom's, I guess, that would be great. And that's like a really surefire way. Your DNA just gets compared with all these other DNA. So it's like really efficient. And so I started getting these messages from DNA relatives, and I was like, oh, cool. But they said that one woman was like, oh, we're half siblings. We have the same dad, but I was raised by him. So if you have any like questions about his health history and stuff, let me know, because I, you know, grew up with him. And I was like, what? And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. I don't really know what you're talking about. And I was texting my brother about it. And I was like, that's so weird. Do you think like, because my dad is a brother. So I'm like, do you think our uncle donated sperm, and maybe because it's my dad's brother, that like something like that. Because the other message was like, oh, are you a sperm donor baby too? We're half siblings. Like, that's so cool. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? I was getting all these messages and I was very confused. So I called my mom, and I was, you know, comics, when something weird potentially happens to you, you post about it, you make a joke about it, right? So I was putting these screenshots on my Instagram stories of like, oh, I think I'm about to find out my family's not my family. And I was texting with my brother, and I was like, what the fuck is this? And I was like, I'm going to call my mom. But I filmed it. I took my iPad out and I filmed it, because I was like, I'm about to find out that I'm the mailman's kid, which my brother coincidentally had been saying to me my whole life, because I don't look like anybody in my family.
He had.
He always said that. But we joked around with each other. Like, we teased each other like siblings. So I didn't think anything of it. And I called my mom up, and I was like, hey, mom, so that 23andMe kit that I got, I'm getting all these messages from people saying that they're my half-sibling, and that I was a sperm, like there was a sperm donor. I was like, dad's my biological father, right? And she was like, ooh, actually, he's not.
What? I did not expect you to say that shit.
He's not. I never thought I would ever be telling you this. I never thought this would get out. Your dad had testicular cancer. I really wanted a second kid. She's obviously crying when she's saying this, you know, through the tears and the so please imagine that. We wanted a second kid. I wanted one so badly. And his sperm wasn't good because of the cancer. And so I asked him, you know, can we get a donor? And he goes, only if the baby never knows. And she goes, okay, sure, I don't care. And my mom was like, I've tried to talk to your dad about it a couple times. And he very vehemently said, nope, we're not telling her. And then you got me that 23andMe kit. And I was like, ooh, she gonna know. And now you know. And I was like, wow, okay, I'm gonna go, but I'll talk to you later. And she was like, don't tell your brother, don't tell anybody. And she like wanted me to keep it this big secret. She's like, don't tell your dad yet, I'll tell your dad. She's crying and crying. I'm like, okay. And that... That took me, that took 3 years to sink in.
I don't know if that would ever fucking sink in. You live your whole life a certain way only to find out, not that you have these other siblings because of a past relationship that your dad might have had, or a little oops from a side chick, or even mom went these cars at Virginia Beach might have, you know, nothing.
Nothing. No.
It's that your dad isn't your dad.
Yeah. But with
biologically.
But with the life I'd lived up until that point, I was fucking negotiating with white trash toothless fucks over shit I got from the trash while my mom was in a depression coma in the van. I'm like, this fits with how my life has been going.
Do you, well, now I have a million questions. So do you know who the man is? Your biological father.
He ended up taking his own life. He doesn't.
Holy shit! Are you kidding me? So suicide, even on that fucking thing too.
Yeah. He was a doctor. Yeah. But it was. I don't know that he had clinical depression. He seemed like a really sweet guy. There's a lot of articles about him that I found that like really. I'm like, wow, this guy seems like a really kind person. He was a doctor in Philadelphia.
So real quick, is your brother's father?
He's a whole one.
That is his biological dad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
That's real. He's
How
a real
many
one.
Siblings have you found that you have that
I'm
you
up
didn't
to about
know?
19.
No.
Yeah.
19. How many?
Because when he was a med student. So
He's
I guess
dropping loads at the damn
yeah,
thing.
When
You're
I was
not
at Penn
supposed
State,
to do that.
No, when I was at Penn State, though, I donated my blood plasma every weekend because it was $45 cash. And I was like, going to take this cash and I'm going to go get a freshman or get a sophomore to buy me beer. Mm-hmm. That was my spending money, was donating plasma. So if all you had to do was jerk off into a tube, I'd do that all damn day.
Well, I tried to do that when I was in college as well. But they told me that you're supposed to only be allowed to do two donations in a certain mile radius, because
that's a nice rule.
Although it's not probable, it is possible that those two siblings could, especially if they stay in the area, could meet.
Yeah, what if they fuck?
Right, unbeknown to them, they're fucking having. Yeah, they're having inbred babies.
Yeah.
We had a girl come on the Patreon who had just gone through this too and found out that her father went every week for, I think she said, 10 years. And I said, that could be 520 siblings. And since that show, she had connected with, like, probably have you have. You said, what, 19?
19. And I met the one that was raised by him, I met with Corinne at RuPaul's Drag Con. I was dressed as a drag queen. I met her and her wife and her son. And I was like, hi.
I'm your sister.
Nice to meet you. I'm like in drag. I'm like, ugh. Hi. This is weird, huh? I don't really look like you.
I'm sorry.
I don't look like the dad. I don't look like her. I'm like, I don't look like anybody. This is the Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Okay. All right. So when do you have the conversation with your dad?
A couple months after that.
Months? You waited that long?
My mom made me.
Because she hadn't told him yet?
She just didn't know. She didn't want to.
Why didn't you just say, fuck everyone now? I want this conversation. You still trying to be a good daughter even then?
Yeah.
All right. So mom tells dad first, heads up. Your daughter knows what's, well.
Yep.
The girl you've been telling your daughter is your daughter.
She's my dad.
Yes,
he is
I want to tell you.
And
I
mean, he loved me like I was his kid. So.
Earlier you mentioned cutting him, your parents off. So I wasn't sure if you did feel that way, but this is the raised. This is your dad.
I respected him more. But that's also, it's how I react to things. So I don't even consider any negative aspect I'm disrespected. I don't consider how I'm being treated in any situation, historically. And so, in this situation, because I was always like, mom, you first. When we had this, when my mom talked to me, I'm like, are you okay? This must be hard for you. Wow, you kept the secret from me for a while. Ooh, that's a lot of stress. And like, I was just concerned with her. I didn't even think, I've been fucking putting the wrong health history on my medical forms for my whole life.
Yeah, it's a big difference
nice
as
to
we
know.
Get older, for sure.
Yeah, and it's there's nothing to be ashamed about, but the only shame is that it was a secret. Don't keep a fucking secret. That's a huge secret that you kept from me. That's
for
a lot.
How many years? When did you, how
33.
Old? 33.
Oh, no, I found out, I was 31 when I found out.
God.
Yeah.
Man, you don't see that fucking coming, do you?
Nope.
What a day.
But when it did, I was like, yeah, that makes
not
sense.
Not surprised.
Yeah, because just weird shit happens to me all the time. of a similar nature.
So how did your dad take it? Was he emotional? Was he like apologetic or was he defiant? How was he?
I knew that it's hard to talk to him about things, about serious stuff.
You only heard him cry once.
Yeah.
I'm curious if this is the second
nope.
time. Wow, really?
No, but I was comforting him. So I was like, hey, I really did mean this part, but I was like, you know, I respect your decision. I understand why you didn't want to tell me. And I really appreciate that you raised me as if I was biologically yours. Yeah. So I was like, thank you for having me. Okay, good night. Like that was a conversation. But yeah, that was a wild one. But so the cutting off part comes where basically my whole life, every boyfriend I've ever had and every close friend I've ever had has always remarked on how odd of a relationship I have with my parents. I'll drop anything if they call. I drop whatever I'm doing to answer the phone. They would have weird rules on me that I didn't understand at the time. I should have been like, hey, I'm a grown-up, and I'm not doing that, with all due respect.
I struggle with boundaries for myself, too.
I never set a boundary with them. There's no boundaries. Every friend I've ever had was like, your parents are weird to you. And I was like, no, they're not. And I sometimes would get offended when a friend would say that, because I'm like, don't you say anything bad about my parents. Like, I would protect them like I was a knight, and they were the king and queen. And then I read a book called You're Not Crazy, It's Your Mother. And I learned about narcissistic personality disorder. And I downloaded the audiobook of this. And I read it when I was on the road. I was doing a solo weekend by myself on the road. And I downloaded it and I listened to all 8 hours. I didn't sleep because it described things that I was like, oh, that is fucked up. Okay. The suicide attempts, you know. She had a lot of them. She didn't do it. She wasn't really good at it. That made me think that wasn't the goal. The timing of her suicide attempts was always when I was about to go off into the world. And I was like,
keep you here.
You are a narcissist.
Yeah.
That is what everything
Very
revolves around you.
Too, yeah.
And you have me right. You might as well have me on a fucking leash. Everything is surrounding you. Your emotions are paramount. Whatever I'm going through doesn't fucking matter. It's how you're feeling or how I make you feel. That's the only thing that matters. And they fucking fed into that shit. There's this thing that I learned called triangulation, where you're pitted against another family member, whether it's a sibling or a parent or whatever. Everything that this book described were basically a list of all the inappropriate, emotionally manipulative, abusive things my parents have done, both of them. And when we started making money, Corinne and I, the podcast got really successful, and we got, I remember, like, the first big deposit from the that went into my bank account. I still have the ATM receipt because I was like, I just felt like a billionaire because Corinne and I were so broke in New York for most of our time there up until that point. The first big check I got. My parents were like, oh, we're going to move to Florida because it's cheaper or whatever. And they're like, or we can move to New Jersey if you'd be interested in buying a house with us. And I was like, okay. I got all that money, wired it right to my dad the next day. And I was
all of it?
Damn it. All of it. All of it. I had to pay taxes on that.
Oh, God.
Six figures. I had to pay taxes on that. I gave all of it to them. And then I'm like, oh, my God. After I read this book, I learned they train you to bow down to them, essentially. Whether they're doing it consciously or subconsciously, in my opinion, it doesn't fucking matter. But boy, oh boy, have I gotten tricked my whole life.
What did they do with that money?
We bought the house. We have a house. Right. It is my asset.
I was over here
so
with
it's
anxiety.
Fine.
Okay.
So we got an LLC. We split that. So the house is 50% mine. So it's an asset. So It wasn't, I didn't like, you know, just give it to them. Thank God.
But what was the line where you cut them off? And was it a separate thing? Or were you on like, all right,
so
today's
my mom,
the day.
My mom
both
was,
of you can.
Yeah. My mom, one day we were out on the porch on the beach house. She came out with her laptop and she was telling me how Black Lives Matter. You don't know where the money is going. And because I had been marching. It was quarantine, but I'd been marching. And she was so worried and so concerned. And she was like, "This, you can't trust Black Lives Matter." I'm like, yes, I can. I can't trust you, bitch. I didn't say that. But, but I wanted to. At least I thought it. I was like, ooh, naughty. But I remember I felt the anger and the rage well up in me like I always had. And instead of, I either would suppress it or I would scream at them. And they would go, oh, how can you? If when I would get mad at them for very just reasons, they would go, are you okay? What's wrong with you? Oh my, I'm worried about you. Are you addicted to drugs, Christina? And I'm like, I'm not. Oh my God. Like, they made me so crazy. So that night, she came out on the porch. I just fucking left. I didn't even say anything.
You pulled a mom?
I left.
You pulled a mom on her.
And I was like, yeah. And I was driving away and I'm like, yeah, fuck you. How do you think about that? I'm like, oh, I hope she's not mad at me. Like, and then this is still before I read that book. Quarantine was happening. Fox News kidnapped both my parents. They allowed it, but I kind of lost them to Facebook and Fox News. And there was a moment where my mom kept emailing me and texting me, and I stopped responding, which was out of character for me. And so she would get very angry with me. And then She was like, "I think you're addicted to drugs, and your happiness is fake." And then I'm like, "You're telling me how I'm doing instead of asking how are you doing? You don't care about me." I'm like, also, you don't really fucking like me that much. You're not nice to me. You're not nice to me. You criticize me. Everything I do is wrong. I don't want to hang out. I don't really want to see you again. And so I started pulling away from her without like really drawing a hard line in the sand yet. And she was so up. She was so devastated that that New York City was being filled with criminals with the pandemic, and that I was addicted to God knows what drug, and I wasn't getting my work done. She was just making all this shit up, and she's like, I want to come down and talk to you. And I was like, no, you're not doing that. We're not doing that. 4 days later, 9 a.m., I'm in bed, and my buzzer rings, and I was like, what? And then I look up at my phone, and I have 8 missed calls. I'm like, okay. My mom's at my fucking apartment. She drove to New York City.
She did.
She's at my fucking apartment, buzzing the buzzer. And the buzzer I lived in at the time, the building was kind of wonky. And the buzzer was extremely loud, very jarring. I hated when people buzzed. She's buzzing, and I finally lost my mind. Finally. I was screaming. I was throwing shit. I was like, I call my brother, call my therapist, I call my dad, and I was like, what the fuck? I told her not to come, and I told you to tell her not to come. And she came, and he goes, well, go out there and talk to her. I'm like, no. What? No. Are you?
All right, what, go, what the hell are you talking about?
I hate you. Yeah, what? And then I go, wait. Can I block them on my phone? Is that legal? Like, that's how Munchausen-y it had gotten.
I just asked my therapist yesterday, is that wrong? I'm having a trouble with the fact that they're blood.
Yeah.
Is it wrong? And she's like, it's not wrong.
No.
You're not wrong. And I'm like, I need to make better boundaries for myself.
Yeah, because you'll go insane. And I blocked them. I didn't let her
you
in.
Did.
I didn't let her inside. I didn't let her in my building. It was pouring rain. She has tremors.
Little taste so of that she Walmart.
Shakes. She's like shakes a lot. So she's outside in the cold. It's raining. And she's like, let me in. And I'm like, no. And I
pulled up,
draw the curtain. I blocked them. And I was like, I don't know how you're going to get home. Because I was always so worried about them. Like, oh, you get home. And I was like, nope. We're done.
Fuck yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. Look, and then I cried, cried for 2 years.
Years. I hate to cut it here, but you got to get the hell out of here. You really do. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You said 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years.
Go ahead, get another one, girl.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to make sure for Adam Carolla, I'm not mascara tears because he's going to go, oh.
All right, real quick. You have to go.
Yeah.
Advice you would give to your 16-year-old self, especially after this shit.
You're not crazy. It's your mother. That's what I would have given. Yeah.
Boundaries, too, I really feel like.
Yeah.
I would say that to my own self, and that's one I hadn't thought of before. Yeah, you need boundaries for yourself.
Yeah.
This has been awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Will you please promote everything one more time?
Yeah, our special day is out on YouTube. It's a debut comedy special of myself and Corinne Fisher, youtube.com/guyswefucked, without the U in fucked. I'm at Christina Hutch on all platforms. I'm going to be in Baltimore, Maryland, London, Ireland, and Miami, ChristinaHutchinson.com.
All right. Thank you so much. As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.